I wouldn't be saying GP's quitting Red Bull, per se. I just think Max has given him his blessing to leave. To McLaren, of all places. And what could any of that mean, aside from a different commute? I mean, is he acting like some kind of talent scout? So by now, you've heard the news. Giampiero Lambiase, the man on the other side of the radio for every single one of Max Verstappen's four world titles, and Max's entire journey with the senior team of Red Bull, is indeed leaving Red Bull. Where is he going? Well, he is off to McLaren to become their chief racing officer, and if you look at both of their statements, Red Bull is fighting tooth and nail to keep him there as long as possible, whereas McLaren is basically joyous in their acquisition, and very much wanting us to know about it. Him becoming the strategic link between Andrea Stella, the team principal, and everyone else within the garage, and no later than 2028, or else you're going to have to deal with a very aggressive backslap from Zak Brown. And let's be real here, like with Will Courtney, McLaren will probably want him earlier than 2028, and they have all the assets and advantages and the money in the world to make it happen. Red Bull, they're fighting hard to make sure that they can keep him throughout at least 2027, and we all know why. They're in a position to be kicked while they're down right now, and guess who's doing the kicking? I've had a couple of days to marinate over it, and I feel like a lot of things have progressed since that initial announcement. I'm glad I actually didn't make that video on Thursday. Well, I mean, I couldn't anyway. Also, every outlet and creator's covered it already. And this is all feeding into the overall sense of the Red Bull brain drain reaching its breaking point, and Zak Brown wishing to dismember the remains of the peak of the Mateschitz-backed Dream Team, a machine that once looked completely untouchable. All of that is true, by the way. But there's something sitting underneath all of it that almost nobody's actually said out loud yet. I don't believe GP has abandoned Red Bull. I think that there is plenty of evidence to be had that Max Verstappen basically told him, hey mate, you can go, no hard feelings, do what you need to do. So let's actually try and look at some of the evidence, since I am admittedly late to the party after having spent a few days in Jersey. Nigel Mansell lives there and owns quite a bit of the establishment, you know. But anyway, once you see what I've been pondering on the last couple of days, you won't be able to unsee it, so be sure to like the video if you like it, and maybe subscribe for more of these little wheelings and dealings. This is no longer about a race engineer finally making a decision about what he wants to do for the next phase of his career, because he's only 45 years old, and it starts becoming something considerably bigger. And we've got to start with Jos Verstappen, the person who's been involved in every significant career decision his son has made since he was a kid in a kart, including the option of whether or not to call his mum after being abandoned at that petrol station that one time. I know you would rather not want to hear from Jos Verstappen, who has had a very tumultuous time as a relationship between himself and Max over the years, but he is a very important part of this story because, as has become very clear over recent times, in fact, the entire history of Verstappen in Formula One, Max has a very core team amongst him. There is, of course, Max, there's his father, Jos, there is his manager, Raymond Vermeulen, and then, of course, there is the journalistic mouthpiece of Erik van Haren, who has also gone on to back up various bits and pieces to do with Max's career. But the thing about Jos is that he doesn't do offhand comments, nor does he really give one-to-one interviews, especially when he's in the middle of rallying, and the things he's told Race Express, a Dutch outlet, are very worth talking about and have been picked up by other outlets. Whenever he speaks publicly, it's because something's being communicated from the camp of Verstappen, and the words he chose when Race Express got to him the day after the announcement deserve to be really given. They deserve to be given your consideration, so here they are for your consideration. This is just a start. Ahem. We've known for a while, and we also knew when it was going to happen. We still have 1.5 to 2 years to work with him. It is a huge opportunity for him, we understand that. And we have also told him that he should seize this opportunity with both hands. It is up to Red Bull to replace him. Loaded stuff, eh, Jos? He obviously talked more in the full video interview on Race Express's YouTube channel, but let's be really clear here. Jos, Max's father, the man who has shaped every fork in his son's road, sat down with Giampiero Lambiase and had no issue with him going to McLaren to work with Andrea Stella, with Zak as his boss. This sounds like a goodbye that was planned. Then the 2021 quote was put to him, the one where Max said after winning his first title that he only works with GP, that when GP stops, he stops. And Jos then says, I think things have changed. He didn't try to dispute that, he didn't fully agree to it, nor say that Max had grown up, his priorities had shifted or anything. All he said was he thinks things have changed, and that's in the present tense. Or maybe the circumstances for when Max said those words no longer exist, and based on all of the stuff that's happened with Red Bull Racing the last few years, you can pretty understand why maybe the circumstances have changed. And if you're willing to follow this to a place which is kind of uncomfortable, the ramifications of what he said are quite obvious. Because yes, there is an uncomfortable truth in all of this. And let's just be very, very frank here. There has been no change in regards to the actual relationship between Max Verstappen and Giampiero Lambiase. That's still there as strong as ever, a clear ally of the Verstappen camp. Instead, I believe what's changed is Max's relationship with Red Bull, the car, the regulations and all that. With the sport as it currently exists, it's not like Max has withdrawn the promise to retire when GP has, or move where he goes per se. The quote now seems moot to me. All by deciding something else first. And I'll be honest here. The euphoria Max had after his 2021 world title, where he wanted to do all of this forever with Red Bull, it did seem rather fanciful for me at the time when he was at the height of his joy after winning that first world title. And I still feel like that today. If he did make it to 2028 with Red Bull despite all of this, I will be really, really impressed. A 7-year contract? That was bold even then. And GP surely knows how things would pan out here, because it's his job to know. That bond he has with Max is important in Formula One. He has to read Max like a book and fully translate things to the strategists and the mechanics to make sure that they can get the best out of both parties, the team and the driver. I'm really serious here. If there is a relationship that is really, really crucial to success within a team, it has to be between a race engineer and the driver. It's got to be a well-defined and long-lasting and trusting connection, or else you're going to be on a hiding to nowhere, where you're going to be second-guessed, or there's going to be a lack of communication, or it could even lead to an accident. And after working with the guy for 10 years and bringing him to over 70 Grand Prix victories and 4 world titles, if there is anyone on the planet that knows what Max is thinking right now, it is going to be Giampiero. You might be thinking it's Jos Verstappen. Well, that might have been the case in his early days, but Jos has very much become his own man and doing his own activities. He's not always glued to the side of Max anymore, whereas with Giampiero, he really has to be. And if anyone knows if Max has made a decision about something before Max decides to even hint at that publicly, it is also going to be GP. And with that in mind, instead of choosing to retire from Formula One entirely and do something else, or maybe reduce his services, he instead chose to go to McLaren, who, despite having a wobble at the beginning of 2026, are very much back in the Big Four and have no intention of falling out of it again. If they can get some good upgrades done in Miami, they could be in contention for victories again. But yeah, McLaren, his next port of call. Even I was shocked by this, because we all thought it was going to be Aston Martin. It seemed like the most logical choice out of any other Formula One team. But think about what this all means, because GP had some serious attention headed his way from Papa Stroll and Adrian Newey, who is also a Red Bull veteran, and somebody who has a lot of influence, and also maybe bringing Jonathan Wheatley into the fold in the not-too-distant future. So McLaren and Aston Martin, they do have similarities at picking at the corpse of the Red Bull 2023 machine. Heck, Aston even wanted him as their team principal. That's a huge vote of confidence, but it is a big step up from race engineer slash head of racing, as Adrian Newey has demonstrated. We all think of Adrian as just a designer, but to be fair, he did undertake race engineering back in the day in IndyCar and Formula One, and he wasn't bad either. But these days, there is a lot more going on than there was back in the 80s and 90s. There was also interest from elsewhere in the paddock too, but he waited. He didn't abandon Max last year, when we all thought he was actually going to, when arguably Max needed him more than ever. And so, he went to the reigning Constructors' Champions, one that had already had colleagues Rob Marshall and Will Courtney from Red Bull inside of it. All of which to take on a role which would be at the beating heart of the racing team's operational structure, next to their team principal, who has gone on to win McLaren 1 World Drivers' Championship and 2 Constructors' Championship to bring them second place behind Ferrari, into double figures in terms of the Constructors, and for McLaren that is a really big ticket. And you really got to be thinking about this. McLaren had been a thorn in Max's side for quite a while, especially the loud American. And when he went to Jos and Max to talk about this and get some advice, neither party balked at the idea. What does that say about the whole thing? And not only that, they told him to grab that opportunity with both hands. And this is the same team that kept flip-flopping about what they actually thought of Max Verstappen. Sometimes Zak and Andrea would think he was the best driver of all time, and then other times they would say, he's the worst driver of all time, he's an absolute bully, how dare he? And they were intimidated by him too, as well as respecting him. You didn't know from one Grand Prix to another what they exactly thought of Verstappen. And that, therefore, gave birth to the self-imposed nickname of his, of Chucky. But okay, we really do need to talk about that destination here for Jean-Pierre and why that really matters. That it was McLaren specifically and nowhere else. And when you really stop to think about it, it has been a bit of a slow burner, and it all started back in 2023 when the underappreciated and underreported Rob Marshall went on to become the chief engineer of McLaren, who was one of the few people who could actually properly translate the technical drawing and then CAD interpretations of Adrian's work into reality. He was the design brain behind the cars that won plenty of constructors' titles, who helped make Newey's designs happen. Being able to pass the most successful technical director in the sport's history? That's a pretty big flex. Then there's Will Courtney, Red Bull's head of strategy. The person who knew how that team thought during a race weekend. He went to McLaren and is now their sporting director. There to lessen the chances of McLaren maybe making strategic blunders or be struck with fear paralysis, which often happened the last couple of years. And now there's Jean-Pierre, who beyond his role as Verstappen's engineer, had become one of the most influential voices in Red Bull's entire technical operation, according to Helmut Marko himself. All of those things I thought were additional sweetness to ensure that he didn't abandon Red Bull any sooner, as in, oh, you want to be more, Jean-Pierre? Oh, well, be our head of racing. How about that? You know, that might be something a bit more involving, right, after Jonathan Weekly departed. But it's still at a time when Jean-Pierre was making very clear that a lot of stuff was happening in his personal life, and it wasn't the best time for him in general. And yes, we do have to talk about Helmut Marko here. I know you would rather not hear from this guy either after all of the stuff that he said over the years, but he is still very, very relevant to this particular story, especially with anything to do with Max Verstappen. And he's not going to be going away from Formula One anytime soon, because for the Austrian Grand Prix, he is going to be an ambassador of that Grand Prix, of the Red Bull Ring. Even though he is not working for the Formula One team anymore as Red Bull's special advisor, he hasn't been completely excommunicated from the Red Bull family. It's just been very much localized to Spielberg. And his reaction is worth your time in this case. He also watched this partnership of Max and GP develop from the very start in 2016. And when he spoke to the Austrian press on the day of the announcement, he didn't try to paint it as a storm in a teacup. He called this a significant loss. That GP was a key figure in car development and setup, who went his own way, not always in agreement with the rest of the technical crew. That's probably the most honest thing anyone connected to Red Bull has actually said publicly about all of this. And the thing about all of this is that Helmut Marko is free to say all of this, because it's either that he didn't have to sign any NDAs regarding how Red Bull practiced its Formula One team, or he took a look at those NDAs and went, I don't really see the problem with this. I'm just telling the Austrian media it's not my responsibility if anyone outside of Austria picks this up. Oh dear, did I say that? Oopsie. He straight up said that Jean-Pierre Lambiase had technical authority that went against the grain of the principles within Red Bull Racing. And we all know about the blowback about how the RB22 chassis is something that not even Isaac Hadjar can work with, that there are calls for Pierre Vacher's time to be up, and that maybe I think Joey Eggington should be brought back from Red Bull Advanced Technologies and become their chief technical designer. It's very clear that the car itself is not good. The power unit's okay though. But anyway, it does prove that Lambiase had alternative thinking and he wasn't afraid to tell anyone. He was very, very frank in that regard. And now that frankness and initiative and alternative thinking is off to Woking. So think about what McLaren have actually done here. They have carefully selected key core members of the Red Bull culture to bring into their own fold to help bolster their own culture. Marshall gave them design philosophy to work with Peter Podrumu. Courtney gives you strategic thinking, and GP, they'll give them race engineering culture and operational authority and the psychological framework behind the most dominant driver of the 2020s. Brown has spent years building an identity around people, I think. Every signing looks like culture building rather than competitor dismantling. Although it is tempting to think that given his sound bites from Drive to Survive, that he just wants to destroy Red Bull Racing, but I don't really think that. But that's exactly why it makes it so effective, because the public Zach is the strategy. He is a facilitator who is able to effectively bring on people who helped make one of the most dominant teams of the 2020s. Whether that's just cold hard calculation or just believing in the right people and thinking they would be the right kind of person to be welcomed into the McLaren papaya family, it is still the same outcome. And the outcome is something I think Brown cares most about, rather than all the pomp and circumstance and the public courting that has often gone on within Formula One. And it also sets him apart from a chap I've talked a lot about recently, and this might be the final sting in the tail if this certain person wanted Max for their Formula One team, and that maybe they might have had to settle for maybe just things outside of Formula One. Yes, Toto Wolff is a political genius of modern F1, and some may even argue he's a bit of a mad genius. I've been overwhelmed about the man in recent times. He can work a room and frame regulations in Mercedes' favour, he can make his moves known, and he's not afraid to tell you and the world about it. And most recently, starting to attack the fans about not believing in the formula, and that in of itself could be an entire video. That, really, Toto? You're resorting to attacking the fans? Look how much goodwill Max Verstappen lost doing that. What little goodwill you had and good standing for your beliefs of the regulations, they're just going to deteriorate, mate. But anyway, that's besides the point. But you've got to admit, he does a lot of talking, doesn't he? And in some cases, he talks more than he really probably should, and he does get himself into hot water, especially recently. He's also spent years circling Verstappen and made his interest painfully public, and he didn't get him. Not in 2014. Not in 2025, maybe not ever. In Formula One, he ended up with Russell and Antonelli, both talented and Mercedes-coded, but neither of them right now are Max Verstappen. If Wolff had genuinely wanted Max, I think, maybe he should have probably nabbed Giampiero first. That's the easiest tell imaginable. We saw what happens when you don't. Because Lewis going to Ferrari without Bono, that was a genuine wound. It goes back to my point about the racing engineer and the driver. It's like that. It's the best conduit possible. And the interface that Lewis had within Ferrari, it was painful to listen to throughout 2025. Zach, in this entire scenario, ran a completely different operation in that you did not hear him courting Giampiero at all. In fact, all you've been hearing from Zach is like, oh, look at Red Bull. Those guys are horrible. And, you know, okay, Lauren's a good guy, but, you know, still, you know, Max Verstappen, someone not to be trusted. And he, yeah, basically, it's not been glowing comments regarding Red Bull. And then suddenly he lands this guy. He didn't need the spotlight and the grandstanding. He just needed the outcome. Giampiero in his team. Whilst Toto's been making his pursuit of Max public in sometimes very bizarre ways, Zach instead hired the one person whose opinion Max actually values and gave him the senior executive role. And as we saw with Lewis, you don't ask an elite driver to join your operation expect them to immediately feel at home. Instead, you decorate the place a bit with some of their favourite members of their previous team to make sure that it's not completely alien. And yes, you might be arguing that, well, Loic Serra and Jerome D'Ambrosio, they came from Mercedes at the same time, and yeah, that's all very well and good, and I think Lewis would have appreciated that, but they weren't directly hands-on with Lewis in terms of a race weekend. They are certainly no Bono or even a James Allison. Imagine if he went back to Ferrari with Lewis. Whereas GP, that's one hell of a decoration, eh? And yes, Verstappen's contract runs out at the end of 2028, and there are plenty of performance clauses around it, and we all think that they are going to be triggered sometime during this year, because they all talk about the top two, and Max is almost about to fall out of the top 10. The team that won every race but one in 2023 is now in the midfield and are very much realizing that they have built a very duff chassis. The Red Bull 4 powertrain side of things can be commended for actually doing something that many pundits reckon is second only to Mercedes, that it may not even benefit from the ADUO to benefit other engine manufacturers, that it's that good on its first proper try. That is a really big technical achievement for Ben Hodgkinson and his team, and of course the framework underpinned by Dietrich Mateschitz and Christian Horner for having the gumption to actually get it off the ground. It really makes it even more tragic that it's being impeded by the RB22 monocoque and all. And something that is really not helping Max's overall sentiments of the 2026 regulations that he believes to be anti-racing and putting him in a position where he is only 2 points ahead of Liam Lawson in the standings. And on the side, he's racing GT3 cars at the Nürburgring because he finds that more enjoyable than F1 right now. And what do Pirelli and Formula One think about this? Oh, let's just go to the Nürburgring and just milk the hype and tension that the Nürburgring hangs at the moment. And yeah, what Max is doing, this is a man who's already working out what comes next instead of his fifth world title. It's never been about any more than one to the next anyway. Two and above is nice, but not the driving force of his continued presence in the sport. Now, pretty much every person who was central to his environment at Red Bull have gone. We all know about Marco, Horner, Newey and Wheatley, but what about Matt Caller, Max's chief mechanic, gone over to Audi over the winter? Ole Schack, his long-serving front-end mechanic, he's leaving soon, and now GP's fate is sealed. What's left is the name, the colours, which have admittedly gone back to the glory days of the 2010s, and a car that he does not enjoy driving. And he's not exactly getting the full respect of the F1 media circus whilst he's having to deal with all of this plight. He has been very much trying to rattle many cages with the FIA to get changes made to bring back more racing impetus to the driver. But unfortunately, the way the conduct has evolved and the media starting to get their hackles up about the whole thing, it's really gone against Max Verstappen and his quest and plea to try and motivate other drivers in which to speak up with him, because he does have that clout. Now we're getting more and more pundits talking about Max in the negative and talking about him as being someone who's just complaining for the sake of it. Either shut up or get out. That's not ideal. And according to ESPN, sources close to Verstappen says retirement from Formula One is more likely than not, and that in itself tells you a lot. So perhaps when GP took a look at all of that and had a look at all of the stuff that was going on within his team and what was going on with Max and what he's had to deal with at the moment, maybe he realised that this could be the best time to maybe start making moves. And the offer that Zach might have given him, why would anyone expect him to say no to that? Yes, the job is very much real. It's a very prestigious job within McLaren, who's had success in recent years, and I'm pretty sure the money was significant too. But there is more to that. There's also a scenario in the not-too-distant future where Max Verstappen, if he chooses to remain in F1 at all, but not being his pride and joy anymore, ends up on the other side of the pit wall, at McLaren. If his racing engineer is already there inside the building, he will have set about building a bridge for Max to cross. Reports have already indicated that he's putting in a good word with Zak Brown, and that Brown was already asking questions about Max's contract situation as far back as early last year. That the McLaren CEO was, as sources put it, very taken with the idea. It might also explain why Lando Norris's and Oscar Piastri's contracts run out in 2027 and 2028 specifically, as in hedging their bets in case Max became available either 1 year early or bang on 2028. Which driver would be replaced? I'm not going to get into that debate, but it'll be very interesting to see whether or not Lando has a contract extension later on this year because, well, the timing would be right, as in with barely a year left to go and silly season about to get maybe silly, but maybe not. If either one of them chose to leave for any reason, Max could easily just slot himself right in and deny Toto Wolff his grand prize. Yes, of course, none of that makes a Max to McLaren move utterly certain. There could be many other scenarios that go on. He might look at the regulation changes being discussed ahead of Miami and think that they're enough to keep him around that little bit longer, and to remain with Red Bull to fight with them from the inside and maybe chase a fifth title on his own terms one day, maybe buoyed by the promising work Red Bull 4 powertrains have done. And of course, he might just simply walk away from Formula One entirely. Yeah, spend the next few years partaking in his love of endurance racing, and he might decide then to just stay within that for good, never to return to Formula One, or he might come back after a couple of years away, you know, a sabbatical, in case he gets wind that the next set of regulations might be something that's more up his alley, or the current regulations have evolved enough where the drivers do get back some say and input after all. I don't think he's going to be completely cut away from Formula One altogether. He'll certainly have sources in the inside keeping him abreast as to what's going on. All those outcomes exist, but let me tell you what is not up for debate. The Verstappen camp knew GP was about to leave, and they knew when he was leaving. And rather than trying to keep him Red Bull, using Max's leverage to the hilt to try and convince him that Red Bull can actually do something about this, they decided just to, well, give him his blessing and allow him to go to a team that Red Bull and Max Verstappen have not exactly seen eye to eye with over the years. With Jos not really putting up much of a fight. Jos not putting up much of a fight? How often do you say that? Instead, they took a look at all of the hirings that McLaren have done and all of the people they pinched from Red Bull and realised that, hey, systematically and operationally, this could be pretty good. And it's also a signal to me that GP hasn't exactly abandoned Max and left him in the lurch of Red Bull to maybe find a relationship with another race engineer. Although I think Max would be mature enough to do that, but it wouldn't be the same. Instead, maybe he could be some sort of scout, perhaps. Him not going anywhere until he knew exactly how the Max Verstappen story was going to end, or where it was going to go next. And here's where this video ends, and another video begins. I'll see you over there.